word of life.
Thanks be to God.
According to John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean, saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus' words today are addressed to those in the crowd who have come to believe in him. He tells them, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The response is hostile. "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone." They seem to be forgetting their history, all those years that the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They ask, "What do you mean by saying we will be made free?" Jesus answers them directly, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." That is not an easy thing for people to hear, to be told not only that they are sinners, but that they are slaves to sin, especially if they believe that they are good, upright people who have done their best to keep the commandments. Jesus continues, "The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." What is Jesus saying? Jesus is describing himself and his relationship to the one who sent him. He is telling them that he is the one who can set them free in a way that no one else can, by calling them into a relationship with him that will lead to their freedom from the slavery of sin. He is inviting them into the truth, which is not a concept, but a person. For as Jesus says in the same gospel, he is the way and the truth and the life. When we confessed our sin at the beginning of this worship service, we confessed that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have no power in ourselves to break the chains of sin. We are freed through our faith in Jesus. It is that faith in the one who is the truth that sets us free. It is why we proclaim that we are justified by faith alone in Christ alone. Justification is the act of God not only forgiving the believer's sins, but imputing to him or her the righteousness of Christ. In Romans 5, verse 1, and Galatians 3, verse 24, we read that justification comes through faith. It is not earned through our own works. The believer, being declared righteous, is freed from the guilt of sin. When I was taking a class in Lutheran Confessions in seminary, we worked through the Book of Concord, a collection of creedal documents originally published in 1580 in Germany. It is largely the work of Martin Luther and Philip Melanchthon. I remember stopping at one point in my reading, marveling at the words on the page about God's grace and mercy, wondering, if this is true, and I do believe it to be true, Why are we not telling the world about it? As I continued to read, the words sank into my heart as well as my mind, that there is nothing I can do to earn God's love and God's grace, that those things have been given to me freely by God, that God has declared believers to be justified by reason of their faith. I think I was sharing a bit in what Martin Luther experienced as he studied the words of Paul about the righteousness of God and about faith. Luther had been having difficulty with the phrase, the righteousness of God, or the justice of God. He had been taught to understand the term, the justice of God, as the justice with which God is just and punishes the sinners and the unrighteous. Luther had no confidence in anything he did was pleasing to God, no matter how conscientiously he lived his life as a monk, no matter how much he read and meditated on Scripture. He was angry at God and even stated that he hated this righteous God. He wrote, "As though it were not enough that miserable sinners should be eternally damned with original sin and have all kinds of calamities laid upon them by the law of the Ten Commandments, God must go and add sorrow upon sorrow, and even through the gospel itself bring his justice and wrath to bear." But as he continued to think about the phrase, the righteousness of God, he noticed the context of those words, and as he wrote, began to understand the justice of God as that by which the righteous live by the gift of God, namely by faith. It was at that moment that Luther realized that God justifies the believer, making the believer righteous, completing what has already begun by creating faith. Luther now understood that God would keep the promise of baptism by which God claimed him as God's own. This is freedom, that in having faith in Christ, the believer is freed from the shackles of sin and declared righteous. It is that freedom from sin that provides another freedom, freedom to turn outside oneself and toward the neighbor. Do you believe this, that through our faith in the one who is truth, that God has declared us justified, that God loves us and forgives us? Do you believe this? I hear silence. Do you believe this?
Yes.
If you believe it, are you sharing this message with others? A few weeks ago, I asked you to fill out slips of paper. Do you remember those? About actions that you could take and actions that we could take as a church to step out in faith. I asked you to turn in these ones, the ones about the actions we can take as a church. And here are your responses. Attend church faithfully. Spread the word. Be more evangelical. Invite others to hear the word at our church. Be involved with other churches. We all serve the same God, and in number, we can do so much more than just a few number. Trust in his will and allow it to grow. Lead by our example of faith. Seek out others in need. Pray. Visit our shut-ins. Invite the churchless to come. Be open and receptive to change. The church needs to show more enthusiasm, to show our trust and faith in God, to continue prayer, knowing God will be there to help us live a life in God. Invite and pray for those unchurched. Be a good neighbor. Pray. Invite more people to church. Support Pastor in her work in our lives. Pray for her strength to continue her work with the help of God. Christian fellowship and devotions. And one that I think really sums things up. Take the good feeling we have when we leave the church on Sunday and share it throughout the week. When I looked at the overarching themes and the responses from both St. Luke's and Union Congregational, this is what I noticed. The number one response was that we need to step out in faith as a congregation by inviting people to church. I agree. Here is my question to you. When did you last invite someone to church? How many have invited someone in the last 10 years? Hands? In the last 10 years, have you invited someone to church? How about in the last 5 years? How about this year? I'm not seeing many hands. Here is my challenge to you. If you believe that the truth can set people free, that freedom comes from having faith in Christ, and that faith in Christ can occur when people come to know Christ, then invite them to church. Not just on some unspecified date, but let's say November 13th. It is not a special date on the liturgical calendar. It's actually the last Sunday of the church year that is green. We do have the bells playing that day. That might be an incentive. But November 13 comes between All Saints Day, which we will celebrate next week, and Christ the King Sunday, which we will celebrate on November 20. It is just an ordinary Sunday, if there is such a thing as an ordinary Sunday. Invite a friend, a relative, a neighbor, the person in front of you at the grocery store. Invite them, regardless of whether you think they will accept the invitation. Just invite them and pray for them. Step out in faith that somewhere out there is someone waiting to be invited, someone who needs to hear about the grace and mercy of God, someone who needs to hear what you hear every Sunday, that God loves you beyond your wildest imagining. So let us pray. Lord, give us the strength and courage to continue in your word so that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. Help us to share your gospel message with those we encounter in the world so that they may come to know you and believe in your justice and your grace. Amen. Let us join together in the hymn of the day. Praise to the Lord the Almighty. It is number 858.